Let's turn, brethren, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. When our Lord Jesus Christ had sent out the 70, He sent out to preach, and they came back and they were all excited. And they came back saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject to us through Thy name." And He said to them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from the sky." You think that's something? "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from the sky," from heaven. He said, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." He said, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not." That's not what the Lord said to rejoice in. He said, "Don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Rejoice because you're a child of God. And at that moment, He rejoiced. And He prayed to the Father. And He said, "Father, I'm thankful that You've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. For so it seemed good in Thy sight." And you think about all the things the Apostle John had seen. All the miracles he had seen the Lord work. And here's what John was astonished at. He says here, verse 1, "Behold." This is a term of astonishment. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Now that is something to be astonished about. The love of God that He's bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And brethren, John tells us here, he says that's a purifying love. He says there in verse 2, when he's worked this in your heart and made you to behold what manner of love He's bestowed upon you, He makes you know something. He says, "Behold, beloved, now are we the sons of God." Right now. We know this. We are the sons of God. Now, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. We know this. That when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as He is pure." I want to talk a little bit about God's purifying love. Now, the world believes a lie where they're telling everybody that God loves everybody and He wants to save everybody. He's doing everything He can. But then they exalt the sinner and they say the problem is you won't let Him. You won't cooperate with Him. You won't let Him save you. Well, that's completely false. That's totally opposite to what the Scriptures teach, brethren. God loves His children in a manner so as to purify us within. He gives us a hope. He forms Christ in us and He purifies us within. And He makes us, brethren, to know we are His sons. And He makes us to know that we shall be saved by His great love. And when He makes you know this, He makes you repent from the darkness of lives. He makes you come to Christ the light and to where He's planted His gospel and where His people dwell. And He makes you abide in the truth, believing on Christ. And He'll never let you turn from Christ. Ever. Now, I want to show you this. First of all, He bestows His love on His children in the new birth. This is when we first experience it, is in the new birth. And He does that through the righteousness of Christ, through the redemption Christ accomplished. Look back now at verse 29, 1 John 2:29. He says, if you know that Christ is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness. We saw last time, that means everyone that believeth on Christ. If you know that Christ is righteous, then you know everyone that believes on Christ is born of Him. Now, I want you to remember the context. We're going through this book, so I want to preach it in context. John has been declaring the difference between those who are anti-Christ, who go out from among God's people and no longer assemble with God's people and assemble with lies, under lies. He's telling the difference between them and God's children. And the difference is God gives His children the unction of the Holy Spirit so that we know the truth and we're kept abiding in the truth. He said there in 1 John 2:20, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. By the Holy Spirit, we're born again. We're given a new heart, and we're made to believe the truth. And when He does that, you experience the adoption of children. You're made to know that God's your Father, and you're His Son. No man has a right to claim God is his Father, and he's the Son of God, until he's been born of God. That's when we're taught that God's our Father and we're His Son. That's when we experience the adoption. And brethren, God, He loved His people freely in eternity. Not a cause in us. It was a free, it was of God and not of us. And He chose His people in Christ, blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and when He did, Scripture says He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. He predestinated the very time when He would send forth the gospel, send forth the Holy Spirit, and call His people to Himself. But now listen, the great love of adoption, this great love where God bestows His love on us, makes us know we're His sons and His daughters. He does this through the redemption that Christ accomplished through the righteousness of Christ. So as John was going through here and he's declaring, brethren, that God gives the unction and He does this through the Holy Spirit. And he said he makes you to experience the adoption of children. He says to us there, he says, that so if you know Christ is righteous, you know this is through the righteousness of Christ, through the redemption of Christ, that we're given this unction of the Holy Spirit, that we're made to experience this adoption of children. If you know this is so, then you know that everyone that doeth righteousness, everyone that believes on Christ, is born of Him. Look at Galatians 4. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Galatians chapter 4, and look at verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem, to make righteous them that were under the law. And here's why He did it. That we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God had already chosen His sons before the foundation of the world in Christ. He predestinated us unto this time that Paul's talking about right here. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you're no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Now go back to 1 John and look at chapter 2 and verse 29. So this is what John meant as he was talking about this unction and this Spirit given whereby we experience the adoption of children. He says, so if you know that Christ is righteous, if you know that this unction is given, the Holy Spirit's given, and you experience the adoption of children through the righteousness of Christ, through the redemption of Christ, then you know that everyone that believes on Christ, everybody that does righteousness, is born of Him. Look over at 1 John 3:10. I just want to review a minute so make sure you understand that doing righteousness is believing on Christ. 1 John 3:10. See, this is what He's declaring. He's declaring how the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Look, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness, he's meaning does not believe on Christ, he's not of God, he's not born of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. He says the same thing again in verse 23. Look down there. This is His commandment, that we should do righteousness, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. See, He says those same two things. And he that keepeth His commandments, he that but does righteousness, believes on Christ, and loves his brother, he's born of Him. He dwells in Him, and He in him. Look at 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, whosoever does righteousness, is born of God. He's born of God, and everyone that loveth Him, that begat Him, everyone that loveth God, by whom he's born again, he's saying the same thing. This is why he believes. This is why he does righteousness. He's born of God. And everyone that loves him that begat loves his brethren who are begotten of him. So those two things are mentioned there. This is doing righteousness, brethren. So John, he's declaring now, he's going through there, he's talking about this unction. He's saying the difference between those antichrists that went out, that left out from the church and no longer walk, and they sit under lies and they're promoting lies, the difference in them and you is you have an unction of the Holy Spirit. You've experienced adoption of children. And you know this, that it's through the righteousness of Christ. So if you know Christ is righteous, and you know that this is through the redemption He accomplished, and you know that everybody that believes on Christ is born of Him, and as He declares that, He's just overcome with astonishment. And He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. He loved us from eternity, and because He loved us from eternity, He sent His only begotten Son. And not only His only begotten Son, He sent Him to this vile place, brethren, to save sinners that didn't love Him. We didn't love Him. Look at 1 John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son. And where did He send Him? Into the world, this sin-cursed world. Why? That we might live through Him. Here in His love, not that we loved God. Those He loved and those He came to save, we did not love Him. But He loved us. Loved us from eternity. Loved us before He ever made the world. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. It never changes. Has no beginning, no ending. Those He's loved, He's always loved. Paul said in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And it's in Christ Jesus. Here it is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be satisfaction for our sins. So as John was thinking about this unction, he was thinking about how this unction is given through the redemption that Christ accomplished. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. He sent His Son into this world. Into this vile place. I try to think of some place that's vile, that I would hate to send my son. Some rat-infested, disease-ridden, dark, wet, dirty sewer to send my son there to save somebody that does not love me? And that doesn't compare. That falls short of what we're talking about. He sent His Son into this world. And the Scripture says He sent Him that we might live through Him. That means He's going to have to lay down His life. Because the people He came to save are guilty, and we deserve death. And to uphold justice, He's going to have to die in our place. Not just any death. He's going to have to bear the sin of His people and bear the guilt of His people. In His conscience, He's going to experience, that's what we see in the Psalms, in His conscience, He experienced the shame of sin. That'll be part of punishment of sin in hell. God says that. You're going to know your sin perfectly. You're going to know how you rejected God. You're going to know the gospel perfectly and know your sin of rejecting Him perfectly. And you're going to live with the shame of that all your days if you go to that place. And He knew the shame of our sin, and He knew the shame of our guilt. And Scripture says He endured the cross, despising the shame. Our Lord had to bear being made a curse. He had to bear the Father He loved, who's of too pure eyes to behold iniquity. When sin was found on His Son, God turned His face from our Redeemer. And our Lord Jesus Christ came knowing that's what He came to bear. God the Father sent His Son knowing that's what He would bear. That's how much He loved His people. You get some idea of how much He loved His people? And He did this to be a propitiation for our sins, to make total, complete satisfaction to the justice of God for the sins of His people. Paul said he prayed to God that we might be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of this love. You know what he called it? The love of Christ which passes knowledge. We can't comprehend it. We can't get a hold to it. Of how much the Father loved His people and how much the Son loved His people. When it says that we might live through Him, it doesn't mean maybe. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean He sent His Son so that maybe we'll have life through Him. He didn't leave anything to chance. It means, brethren, we shall, because He propitiated God. He satisfied God for the sins of His people. Isaiah said, for peace I had great bitterness. I couldn't get any peace. I had nothing but bitterness. But Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For Thou hast cast all my sins behind Thy back. Before the law of God and God's record book, God's people have no sins. We think about sins being blotted out. We think about like you take white out and you cover them up, but underneath them, they're still there. No. When you open God's record book, there's no record of any sin that's ever been there. Why? Because before we ever sinned, He put us in Christ. And He always beheld us in Him, holy and without blame, in love, in Christ. And Christ came and He took all our sin and put it all away. So there's, before God, we never have sinned. Isn't that love? Isn't that love? Oh, so brethren, the justice of God says we have to be given life. Go over to Jeremiah 3. We have to be given life. Justice is satisfied. Listen to me now. Listen to this carefully. Everybody Christ died for, He satisfied justice for them. He redeemed them. He purged them of their sin. He took our sins away into a land not inhabited, and God remembers them no more. So the justice of God says we have to be given life. Now look at this. Jeremiah 3:19. But God said, how shall I put thee among the children? How shall I give thee a pleasant land and a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? God saying, out of all the multitude of sinners in all the nations, out of all the hosts of the nations, out of all the sinners in all this world, God says, how shall I make you my children? How am I going to make you heirs, my heirs? How am I going to do this? How am I going to give you a goodly inheritance? How am I going to plant you in a pleasant land? Look at this. And I said, thou shalt call me my Father. You're going to call me Father. You're going to call me your Father. And you shall not turn away from me. That's John's whole point in his epistle. He's trying to warn. There were people seducing his brethren. They were seducing them. They were trying to lead them away into lies. And John is telling them, I'm speaking these things to you concerning them that seduce you. You have an unction. You know the truth. And here's how you know a liar from somebody who's a true believer. Those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in truth. You know that person's born of God because he's righteous and he's brought them to that place through his redemption. He's given them the spirit of adoption. And he's saying, and they can't turn away. God's promised they'll never turn away from him. Whosoever's born of God does not commit sin. What sin is John talking about? He's talking about the unpardonable sin. You know what that is? If you forsake the assembling of yourselves together with God's people, and if we forsake Christ Jesus the Lord, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. That's the unpardonable sin. If we leave Christ, we forsake Christ, there's no more pardon for that sin. And John says here, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. He's not going to turn from Christ because God's incorruptible seed remains in the believer and he cannot sin. He cannot turn away in apostasy because he's born of God. He can't do it. And that's why I read Jeremiah 32 to you. If you want to look there again, I just want to read this one verse. Two verses. He said in verse 38, they shall be my people and I will be their God. I will give them one heart, one faith by one spirit, and I'll give them one way, that's Christ the way, that they may fear me forever, that they may believe me forever, that they may look to me forever for the good of them and of their spiritual children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I'll put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. They're not going to depart from me. They're just not. But here we are, we're dead in our sins. Christ did all that. He redeemed us. He came and he did all that. He loved us. God manifested his love. But we didn't love God. We came into this world from Adam and we're dead in sin and we didn't want a thing to do with God. But God. Don't you love that? But God. But God, who is rich in mercy. Why? Because of His great love wherewith He loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He quickened us with Christ. He made us alive with Christ. And it's so it's by grace that you're saved. Turn to John chapter 1, brethren. In our text, John tells us this. Because we're born of God's Spirit through this righteousness of Christ, because God has shed His love on us so abundantly, John said, therefore the world knows us not because it knew Him not. Think about that. Because of God's great love toward us. He's speaking about because God sent His Son and He did all the work and made us righteous and because we had to be born of the Spirit and He sent that Spirit and caused us to be quickened and made alive and we come to Him because of how God shed His love on us, this world doesn't know us. But it's because it didn't know Him. Look here, John 1:10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. You think about that. Our Creator came in flesh and walked among us, and we didn't know Him. And it wasn't like He hadn't been telling us for thousands of years exactly how He was going to come, exactly what He was going to do, and we still didn't recognize Him. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But watch this. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. It means He gave us the privilege and the faith to experience the adoption of sons. He gave it that to us. Even to them that believe on His name. How did He do it? Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's how. Look at John 15. So here's what John's saying to us, friend. He's saying to us the only reason we're holy and righteous is because of God's great love. That's it. We were sinners, we were vile, we were unlovable. And yet God loved us without a cause in us. And He sent His Son to lay down His life for us. And He redeemed us. He purged us. He made us righteous. And then He sent His Spirit because we're sons. And He gave us life to believe on Him. And He gave us the privilege of experiencing what it is to be the sons of God and to know the love of God toward us. And John is saying, and because this is what we tell sinners, this is how He loves sinners. He loves us in Christ. He loves His people savingly. He loves His people discriminately. He said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. He loves His people without end. He loves His people in Christ, sending Christ to be our righteousness. He loves His people in the Holy Spirit, sending Him to give us a new heart. And because this is how He loved us, we tell other sinners this, and they hate us for it. They don't know us. They look at you like you're crazy. They never heard it. What are you saying? You're saying that, what about our will? What about our works? What about the will of my mom and daddy who some say, baptized me when I was an infant? What about all the sacrifices I've made? The Lord said, it's not of the will of man. It's not of the will of the flesh. And it's not of blood. It's not of your sacrifices. We're born of God. And men hear that and they hate you for that. They don't know you. And they hate that gospel. Why do they do that? Look at what our Lord said here. Because it knew Him not. Look at John 15:18. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now look, look at verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Verse 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. You see, here's why the world doesn't know us. Here's why the world hates us. Because we give all the work. We put all the work in the hand of God to save sinners. God the Father choosing us, Christ redeeming us, the Spirit regenerating us. And when a sinner hears that, they hear the works that no man can do. They hear that they're not saved by their own works. They hear that they're sinners. And they're ruined. And it pricks them in their conscience. And that's why they reject you. And that's why they reject your gospel. It's because they don't know Christ. That's why. They don't know God saves by grace apart from works. That's why. That's why. Now, look at this. Go back to our text, 1 John 3:2. Now, here's John's main point that he's declaring. When God has bestowed His love in such a manner, He purifies us. He really purifies us in the heart. He, He gives us a hope. He purifies us by making us know the truth so that we can no longer continue in lies. Look here in verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know what we're going to be yet. We don't know the fullness of it or what's going to happen. But we know, we do know, look, that when He shall appear, and we know He shall appear. Christ is coming. We know that. And we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We know that. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as Christ is pure. Now some people read that and they think it means that a believer makes himself pure. Now let me tell you something. We can't make ourselves pure. We can't give ourselves a pure heart and make ourselves pure, much less make ourselves pure even as Christ is pure. We can't do that. But we just saw in all these scriptures we've been looking at that we're made pure by the work of the Holy Spirit through the righteousness of Christ. That's how we're made pure. Go back over to 1 Peter 1. We saw this last time, but I want you to look at this again. He said it the same way John says it, but Peter shows us here a little more clearly that this is the work of God that purifies us. Look at 1 Peter 1:21. He says, he's been speaking of Christ, being redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, and he says, who by Him do believe in God. It's by Christ. It's through His redemption. That raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory. Because Christ accomplished that redemption of His people, God raised Him and gave Him the glory of being the head of the church, of sending forth the Holy Spirit and giving all His people this unction, teaching us the gospel. He gave Christ the glory. He's our prophet, priest, and king. So it came from Him. He's the Holy One, John's speaking about, that this Holy Spirit came from, the unction. Now watch this. He did it that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Now that's just how John said it. But what's he talking about? He's attributing it to us simply because it's through faith. It's through obeying the truth. It's through doing righteousness, believing on Christ by God's grace. But look, we see that it's by Christ. He said it's by Him that you believe. It's through the Spirit, he says right here. Through the Spirit. Look at verse 23. It's from being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And at the end of verse 25, he says, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It's by Christ. It's by the Holy Spirit. It's by the incorruptible Word. It's by the washing of regeneration. God creates a pure heart within His child. He gives us a new spirit so that we're purified even as Christ is pure. You've got to be perfect to come into God's presence. He makes you as pure as Christ is pure. And then he tells you this, now let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, having been purified by the Lord. Now we can come to God through faith in Christ. So now, here's my question. Why does Peter and why does John say we purify ourselves? Why does he say that? It's because when God gives this unction and He makes us to know all things, He makes us to know the truth, He makes us to know Christ is all. All our salvation is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit manifest in Christ Jesus, the Son of God. When He makes you to know that, for the first time we behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We behold that we really are now the children of God, and we believe it. We know we shall be saved. We shall see Him as He is. And when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him. We know this. And by this purifying work, He said, Christ, the hope of glory, has been formed in you. Christ is the hope of glory. And so John says, and when you have this hope, that's like saying when you've been purified, when you've been washed and you've been purified and you've been made known to God, know God's love, and you have this hope in you, Christ is in you now. That's how we're made pure. When you have that, God really and truly, effectually grants repentance to His child. He makes you come out of the darkness, out of the lies, and He gives you faith so that you come to Christ the light. You do truth. You come to the light and you want your works to be manifest that they're all wrought in God, in Christ. And He gives you an unfeigned, an unfake, an unhypocritical love of others that are born of Him and believe this same gospel. I had a man say to me one time, he said, "You know those men that you talk about, preachers and whatever, they don't mean anything to me." I said, "I don't have to know a man personally." I gave him Brother Angus Fisher as an example. I just met Angus. I didn't really know Angus personally. Never seen him face to face. Never stood in the same room with him. I said, "But he preaches the gospel of Christ and he means something to me." And I'm not being hypocritical about it. I can listen to him because he means something to me. Because he preaches my Lord. It gives him glory. And so when God does this, He makes you leave darkness, makes you leave lies, and makes you come to Christ in truth and believe on Him. Go over to 2 Corinthians 6. I want to show you this. John's been speaking about darkness. You know, he started this epistle talking about darkness and light. He's talking about lies and truth. That's what he's talking about. And he says that all through the epistle. He's talking about lies and truth. When he's talking about sinning and not sinning, he's talking about believing on Christ or forsaking Christ. This is what he's talking about. He's reduced this thing down to where the rubber meets the road. He's talking about either you believe on Christ or you don't. But look here what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 6:14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness?" See that? That's what John's been talking about when he talks about light and darkness. He's talking about Christ and Belial. He's talking about he that believeth is light and the infidel is darkness. He's saying they have no communion together. Now look at this. What agreement, verse 16, "have the temple of God with idols? You're the temple of the living God. As God hath said," he's quoting Scripture, "I'll dwell in them and I'll walk in them and I will be their God and they shall be my people." We just saw God say that in Jeremiah, didn't we? That's what he said. Now watch this. "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and I'll be a father unto you. And you'll be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord." He's talking about His great love in making us sons. Now watch how Paul puts it. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Let us purify ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, coming to the end of holiness, the perfecting," that end for which the end of holiness is to come out. That's what he's talking about. Coming out of darkness into the light. Coming out of lies to the truth and believing on Christ. And so John is basically telling us here, brethren, when he saw this problem in the church, he said, there's men seducing you. They're trying to call you away into lies. And he said, you have an unction and you know the truth. And he said, and this anointing that you received abides in you and it's no lie. And it's teaching you the truth. It's not darkness. It's light. And as it teaches you to abide in Christ, you're going to abide in Christ. And he says, now let me remind you, if you know Christ is righteous, and you know this work is done through the redemption of Christ, that we're given this unction, we're made to be a partaker of this adoption of children, then you know everybody that believes on Christ is born of Him. And he says, now behold the love that God's given to us. Behold how He's made us sons of God. We are sons of God and we shall be like Christ when He shall appear. He has saved us. And he says, now when God's purified your heart and He's formed Christ in you, He's given you this hope, the man He's done that is going to come out of darkness and he's going to abide in the truth. He's going to come out of lies, and he's going to walk with Christ in truth and believe on Christ, and he won't stop doing it because God said, they won't stop. They won't stop. They'll never turn away from me. They're going to keep on believing me. So that's what we're talking about here, brethren. John's just given us assurance in our hearts that, do you know the Lord? You believe Him? You trust Him? So many people look for assurance. I like this Brother David Pledger would say to men when they come saying, well, I don't have assurance. He said, you don't believe Christ accomplished the redemption of His people? They say, yeah, I believe that. You don't believe that He's not going to lose one of His, that He bought with His precious blood? Yeah, I believe that. You don't believe that the Spirit of God is working in His people and that He's going to keep His people and He's not going to let us go? We're saved, we're kept by the power of God? Yeah, I believe that. Well, then the problem is you're looking in the wrong place. If you don't have assurance, you're looking at you instead of Him. And that's what John said here. You can be sure that this is how you're going to know the truth from a lie. Those that give Christ all the glory and abide in Him and love others that promote the gospel that gives Christ all the glory, they're born of God. And they can't do anything but continue believing Him. That's how you know. That's how you know. You come across somebody that, well, they can listen to the truth today or tomorrow. They can listen to universal redemption. They can listen today about God's sovereign grace giving you a new will to believe on Him. Or tomorrow they can listen to lies about how it's of man's will that He brings Himself to be born again and believe God. Or they come up with something that's not even relevant and they go off the deep end on that. And try to make something else the issue other than Christ. John's saying, His people can't do that. They can't do that. Because there's seeds in them, and they can't. And that's how you're going to know the difference. That's how you're going to know the difference. So, how excellent is the loving kindness of our God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of His wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures, because with thee is the fountain of life. And in thy light we shall see light. He's the fountain of life. He's the fountain of youth. And in His light, His people are going to see light. And they're not going to turn away. All right. Father, we come before You now. We ask You to bless this to our hearts and to truly make us understand that those that truly love You and truly believe on You, brethren, despite our sins, despite our shortcoming, despite the ways that we hate our flesh and the lusts of it, it's those that You keep, Father, depending on You and looking to You and trusting You that are Yours. You make us to come out from the darkness and trust Christ alone and won't let us do otherwise. Lord, thank You for that. Thank You for that. Make us see You're our only assurance. And forgive us our doubting. Keep us in truth. Keep us looking to Christ. Keep us together with our brethren, assembled together. We trust You. We believe Your word, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Art.